wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul. This bag of bones, I try with all my heart, but I just can't win the fight.
Savior, because you healed my heart, you changed my name forever. desires now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. I'm free. Flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley, and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you just remind me that when we don't really know who you are, we can get so easily swayed, we're so easily deceived, but when we really just acknowledge you in all of our ways and we trust in you, we can know that you're directing our paths. We can know that you're leading us. We can be confident in you being our good shepherd. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. I believe it was the Apostle Paul said that he would want to see the people raise their hands to pray. So if you're comfortable raising your hands to pray this morning with me, please raise your hands to pray as we pray for the blessing of the bikes. Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we just thank you for the beautiful day. We thank you that you already answered our prayers. We thank you that everything we pray according to your will, it will be done. We thank you that whatever we pray in agreement with one another, that it shall be established. We thank you that this day is already filled with your Spirit and that we're going to see you do marvelous things, that we're going to see you change hearts, we're going to see you change minds, that we're going to see you do what only you can do. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be a part of this commission. To push your kingdom forward, to see souls saved, lives completely transformed and turned around. Thank you, Lord. We just ask that you'd continue to pour your Spirit out upon us. You'd continue to fill us and embolden us for your work. And we ask that you would soften the hearts of every single person that will be attending the blessing of the bikes today. Have your will, Lord. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. We ask that you would give us the words to say. We ask that you'd give us the compassion, the gentleness, all the fruits of your Spirit, all the wisdom and knowledge that we need to minister to these people, Lord. Again, Father, please have your way, your will be done. We surrender to you this morning. We pray and we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. He's amazing. Amazing. You can be seated. You can be seated. Amazing God. Welcome to Seaport. If you're here with us in person, welcome. It's so good to see you. If you're with us online, thank you for joining us. Welcome. We like to honor our first-time visitors or our newcomers, so can you please clap with me to welcome our visitors this morning? Thank you for coming. It's really an honor. It's an honor to have you guys with us. We want to get connected with you, so you can do that by texting WELCOME to the number that's going to pop up on the screen behind me, take you to a little forum thing you fill out, you get connected with us that way. You can also get connected with us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, other social media platforms. That's a great way. You can also hit the QR code in front of you. It should be on the back of the seats that are in front of you with your phone. It takes you to a landing page, and you're just connected with us that way. It's a great resource. Download the Church Center app. You get connected with Seaport. But here is Pastor Brad.
Thanks, Rolando. I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good to see all of you. And welcome to Blessing of the Bikes Sunday. And the Lord's given us a great one for that. Hallelujah. And if you happen to be just visiting with us, please receive my special appreciation for you just being here. And I know that there are probably folks watching online. So thanks for being here. Hallelujah. So if today I said to you, I have got a red hot tip from Elon Musk, most of you would be like, wouldn't you? He's only worth $270-290 billion. He's poor. He's poor compared to this guy, not me. Take my name off there. This guy. The guy who wrote this, glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with your first fruits and every increase that comes to you. Then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontrollable, uncontainable source of inner joy. if you tithe, put that first 10% to the Lord, give him offerings, the promise, those first fruits, is to bring a blessing into your life that's uncontainable. Is that true?
Yes.
Now, the guy who said that, you probably want to, you say, well, it's probably Solomon who said that. Yeah. Solomon, when he wrote this, was worth $2 trillion. That would make Elon Musk a poor man in comparison. So, if you want to follow Elon Musk, okay, do that. We don't want to do that. Well, I'm going to follow Solomon. And look at what he said. $2 trillion. That's how much he was worth when he wrote this. And so I hope that you'll honor the Lord with your giving today. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. Let me say it again. Don't hurt yourself by not tithing. Don't hurt yourself by not giving. The Lord will bless your life in amazing ways. And just try it. Just try it. Amen? Amen. Just honor the Lord with your giving today. There's lots of ways you can give around here. You can go old school with an envelope and the kiosk there in the back, those little drop boxes in the back. You can go to our website. You can go to Text in Church. You can go to our app. There's lots of ways to do that today. So just jump in and be part of that and let the Lord bless your life significantly. Amen? Come on, let's just pray. Lord, we know it takes faith and obedience to give. And sometimes we kind of hold our breath when we give because we get a little apprehensive, and I get that. But Lord, help us to trust you because your word is true that if we'll put you first, then all the things that we have need of will be added to us, Lord, in so many ways. And I've seen that so often in my own life. And God, I know it's true. Thanks, Father. So just help us to give and honor you today. Amen, friends? Amen. If you're a first-time visitor, there's no pressure to give. You want to give, you can give, but there's no pressure to give. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? There's some very, very important people in this church, and we're about to hear a little bit about them. Stacy, come and tell us a little about these very, very important people and that come to church at Seaport. Who are these very important people?
Good morning, everybody. I asked Ben to join us, and he's going to, I'm going to ask him a question right now. He's just going to hang out with me. Try not to be distracted by the cuteness that I think is going to be above my head. Some say that the best seat in the house is right there in the front row. Some say it's the back row. Everyone thinks they have the best seat in the house, but I'm going to share a secret with you. The best seat in this house is actually on the nursery floor. This room comes complete with the cutest members, each one with tiny feet, tiny hands, and bowls of joy. Here we laugh, we play, we read, we worship, and we dance, all while sharing Jesus' love with the littlest ones. This room is where they begin their lifelong love of the church and the people in the church. We are men and women and teens, youth, who choose to partner with parents to help them I quoted a scripture here, to train up a child in the way he should go, so even when they are old, they will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. We are looking for several men and women and teens to join us. My prayer is 8. We need people on Wednesdays and Sundays. So I'm going to ask Ben. Ben, can you tell us from a teen's point of view, why is it that you serve in the nursery?
Hey, guys. So it's really fun for me to play with all the toddler boys. I'm very active, and as a teenager, I can definitely keep up with them and all that.
It's great.
As a teenager, we seem to make impact on the little ones, to make them smile, and because we're kids too. One of my personal favorite things in there is controlling the bubbles. It's just more proof that we are little kids. Overall, it makes me feel very happy working with them because we get to set an example and mentorship them. They look up to us, and we can really make a difference in their lives.
Thank you. Thank you. So if you're listening right now and you're kind of interested in what we're saying, if you were thinking about joining our team and just have some questions, I would ask you to please put the word nursery
into text. The text number is 860-969-2145. Just put the word nursery in there. Also, after service, I'll stand over here by the Welcome Center if anyone has any questions or any thoughts or they just want to chat with me for a minute. So I just ask you to consider, please consider joining our team. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Stacy. Yeah. It's so important because it really does a lot of things. Not only does it give those kids a really safe and a great place to be ministered to, but it also helps often mom and dad that are serving in other areas of the church. It helps them to be able to fulfill that. So it's a huge win, you know, to do that. And, you know, and sometimes, too, young moms, young single dads especially, may just need kind of a breather. And so that helps them, too. So Jessica's one of our deacons. She's going to come and talk to you about some of the stuff that's going on. Jessica?
Good morning, Seaport. Oh, that's so nice. So we have an ever continuously revolving index of opportunities here. So we have a few that are going to come up behind me. So if you want to see how God wired you to serve best, you're going to want to join Pastor Brad for the webinar Engage, which is May 3rd. Do you want your finances to thrive? Oh, only half of you. Okay. Well, that half can go to the brand new webinar that we'll show you how on May 5th. And then it's this time of year. So it's summer camps are upon us. So save the dates for summer camp, sponsored by our church district. Camps are jam-packed with team-building activities, recreational opportunities. The kids have a blast. I don't know one kid in youth group that doesn't talk about their memories of camp for years and years and years to come after that. There's spirit-led worship and powerful teaching of the Word of God, so you definitely want to try to get them to that. We have three available: kids camp, junior high, and senior high, and there's more info coming this week. And lastly, on Wednesday, there is a session on Man in the Image of God is continuing with Pastor Brad. Where do you sign up for these things? In the app.
Jessica, that's the easiest way to do it. Yeah, amen. I'm really excited to the teaching. We're really going to look at what was man created and designed to do. We have such a challenge in our country today. People don't know who and what they are. You know, yeah, the middle schoolers, this is not a mutiny. I didn't say something to offend a bunch of people. This is the middle schoolers. They're heading out of here, okay? They're heading out, okay? That's what's happening, okay? So some of you are like, oh my gosh, what's happening here? That's what's happening, okay? They're going out of here. But anyway, so we're going to really talk about a proper understanding of who God created man to be and what happened. And, you know, there's, again, because our country has such an absolute confusion when it comes to what identity is. Our culture is completely confused. Anyway, so we'll talk about all of that on Wednesday night. Right now, I want to bring up our very special guest, Rich and Patty Vreeland. They're not strangers to many of you, but new to some. So Rich and Patty, if you'd come on up here and, grab the microphone, yeah. And there's a lot I could say to you. We kind of, you know, I don't know. It's coincidentally met in this narthex many years ago, and that's led to all kinds of ministry, both here in this parking lot and in Sturgis, South Dakota. And so they've become dear friends of ours. And Rich and Patty run Vreeland's Harley-Davidson in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania. Done that for about the same time I've run Seaport. I mean, I've run Seaport, and so they're here. You're used to hearing from Patty or Rich, but today you're going to hear from both of them. They're going to talk to you a little bit about what happened in their lives and in their marriage. And so, Rich and Patty, great to have you guys here. Come on, stand right up here. God bless you guys.
Yeah. So we don't ever do this, okay? So if we look a little awkward,
that's right.
You know, we are. It is awkward because usually I'm the mouth of the South, and Patty is sitting there coaching me every word. Don't say that. Don't say that. But
and then this.
Yeah. So when you see her going like this, it's not for you. It's for me. But Brad asked us to talk about our marriage, and we've been married 27 years. It'll be 28 years in July. Thank you. You're clapping for Jesus because that's the only reason why we're still married. And so, but I thought we would just sort of take you on a little history trip and how our marriage evolved and how Jesus saved our marriage. So I guess I got to start by telling you that I got married the first time at a very young age. I got married when I was 19, and I was divorced by the time I was 20. And at that time, I had just said, I'm done. I will be a bachelor for the rest of my life. And so now you know God has a sense of humor because my wife is standing here next to me. But I want to tell you about Patty and I's relationship. And I can tell you what Patty was wearing the first time I ever laid eyes on her. And that was 32 years ago. And she came walking into the Harley shop. I was behind the parts counter. And here was this biker chick, man. And I can't describe what she was wearing because it was the 90s. But there might have been spandex involved, okay? And chrome chains and leather. And it was awesome. She's embarrassed now. She's embarrassed. But, you know, Scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes that two are better than one. So let's go on this little journey how two are better than one. Go ahead.
Okay, so Mr. Excitement, right? Like, he lived in a house where anything was possible. Everything was permissible. I came from a very strict, lockdown, backwoods, redneck house. And so he brought this adventure, and I was like, awesome, let's do this. Okay, great. But, you know, after we got married and as the years went on, I'm kind of putting the brakes on, like, okay, enough adventure. Let's just get settled down here and keep our business going and whatever it is we have to do. And so, you know, that really brought some conflict. And it was the old patterns, the old habits in my life, even some baggage from my first marriage. I was married 5 years, very abusive relationship. So my heart was guarded. I had gotten some healing, but I sure needed a lot more healing. And, you know, so this affected how we interacted to the point where Rich found a way to escape as much as possible. Oh, wait, I think I had a scripture for that. Okay, plans fail for a lack of counsel. So that's in Proverbs 15. And that's, we just didn't have good role models. His mom and dad divorced early. My mom and dad were together, but it wasn't a healthy relationship. So we didn't have that direction.
So I got blessed, and a lot of you folks that have heard me speak before know that I spent a few years on a NASCAR team. And I was the over-the-wall gas man for, I could name drop a bunch of names like Jimmy Johnson, Casey Kane, David Green, the list goes on, Mike McLaughlin. But anyway, so that took me away from the house for 36 weekends a year. And I thought it was great. Patty, maybe not so much, but it's a story for a different day, but that's it was at the NASCAR races that I started going to chapel service, and that's when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ and got saved. So I'm always very passionate about what I call dirty ministry outside of the church, because I got saved in a parking lot at a racetrack, not in a church. And so I believe people are going to get saved today in the parking
Amen.
Lot.
Yes, here. Lord.
But so, but what would happen was, We were just separate, going apart. You know, my days were better on the weekends than it was during the week. And we would come home, and I'm glad all the young people left, because Patty and our relationship got to a point where what I call, we were having hallway sex. And if you don't know what that is, that's when you pass each other in the hallway and tell each other you're number one. And that's where our marriage had deteriorated to.
So in this time, we had gone to Family Life for the weekend to remember, you know, got a few pointers there, learned about love languages, maybe a little bit of work. But what I really see as I look back 30 years is, you know, we kept trying. We did not give up. We kept trying. And it was not always easy. And there were tears. And there were some setbacks. And there were some do-overs. But we were committed. And I said to Rich this morning, we really didn't even have the word covenant in our vocabulary. But we had a covenant. before God. We had both had failed marriages. We were determined. We were going to make this work. We had no idea how, but we were going to make this work. And we went to a big conference out in Phoenix that was really awesome, and that kind of brought some healing for us. And then there was a time we had worked together all these years, and I just had to walk away from the business for a while and kind of just find out who I was, get the rest of the healing that I needed. And it was in that time that I surrendered. And, you know, submit is a delicate word, a word that brings a lot of triggers for people. But, you know, it's a biblical word. And as wives, it's supposed to be we're allowing the husband to lead us because that is God's plan. And so I didn't like the word submit, but what I saw was I wanted to live at peace. And so it was more of a just stop arguing, you know, and just try and work together. And that was really when we saw our marriage turn around. This year we enrolled in Bible school together. It's the best thing we ever did because it was this level playing field. We both had no clue what we were doing, and we've learned and grown together. You know, before it was either Rich's thing or Patty's thing. This is our thing together, and it's been the most amazing year. I have this brand new husband. Come by our trailer, I'll tell you all about it. And I'm really blessed to be here this morning and to be able to say this. Because God has done so much healing in our marriage, and I know he can do it for anyone here.
Amen. So Patty stood up here and said, you know, women submit to your husband, and that's what Scripture says. And guys like to talk about that a lot, but the Scripture also says that we are to honor our wives, and we are to treat them with the same esteem that we would treat Christ. And so what I've learned that has really helped our marriage, especially over the last 10 years, the first thing is that your wife or your husband is not your enemy. They are not your enemy. And that we can't change each other, but we can excel in our differences. So I don't try to change Patty. I accept Patty for who she is, and she accepts me for who I am. And we take the good things, and we build on those. And that's how we accelerate. And some of you people, yeah, amen. Some of you people have probably heard me say this before, and it's kind of a biker term for you bikers out there. You know, guys like to call the old lady their ball and chain, you know. Yeah, it's my old ball and chain. Well, you know what really changed my attitude? And I don't know where I picked this up. And this is free. You could spend a lot of money on therapy and stuff for this. But, you know, guys, you married your girlfriend. You didn't marry your wife. You didn't marry that old ball and chain. Treat your wife like your girlfriend, because that's the girl you married. Don't look at your wife. I never look at my wife. I look at my girlfriend. And man, I was happy to get married to my girlfriend. So the encouragement is if you keep Christ at the center, never give up. Never, ever say the D word. Never, ever let that enter your home. In fact, I would just cast that out of your vocabulary. And stick together, love one another, and honor each other, and honor your differences. And that's our encouragement to you. And Patty and I, you know, God loves U-turns. He certainly turned it around. We spend more time together than anybody I know. In fact, when we're apart, it's kind of weird. But yeah. So let me just pray a blessing over you guys. Lord, we just love you so much, and we praise you. And we thank you for every marriage in this house right now. We thank you for every potential marriage in this house, Lord. And I just pray that you would bless them in the same way that you blessed Patty and I, that you are there with us. You are a member of the team, Lord. And I just pray that these marriages would be built up, turned around, and just filled with love and caring and compassion for one another. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Guy. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. I feel like I'm on a volleyball team and they just threw the ball to me to spike it. And so thank you for that. I'm excited about this brand new series. We're talking about life abundantly. Jesus said this, the thief, the devil, has come to rob, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life to the fullest or more abundantly. that you might thrive is a word we might use. So we're starting that off, and we're talking about marriage. And so like, this was Pastor Debbie's idea to have these guys kind of team up and do this, and it was a great idea and to do that. And so thank you again for that. I recently heard this definition of what marriage is. Marriage is two funerals and a resurrection. Think about that. So Rich referred to it, but let me quote it, okay? Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Is there an amen anywhere in the house here? Okay, there we go. Now, I don't really have the time to go read the big, long passage. You can read that, you know, in Ephesians 5, and I wish you would, because these two passages of Scripture really nail this whole idea that marriage is two funerals and a resurrection. It really is powerful. Now, the Bible talks a lot about marriage, but not as much as maybe some other topics. And I think there's a reason for that, and that reason would simply be this. And that is that it's really not so much about marriage, but it's about each other's true heart, who you are as an individual as you come into marriage and as you move through marriage. You know, so the Bible focuses a lot on who we are as people. And it spends a whole lot more time talking about how to be mature as people. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this very rapidly for the sake of time. I'm going to give you just 10 insights, and they don't fall in any particular order, 10 little insights that will help you to either prepare better for marriage or strengthen the marriage that you're in, you know, or just give you, you know, perspectives that can maybe help somebody as well. Number one is this. Focus on being the right person and not finding the right person. Do you hear that? Okay. Now back to Matthew 6 from last week. If you seek first the kingdom of God, seek first the right relationship with Him, then all the things you have need of will be added unto you, even relationships. So it's all about that priority of focusing in and growing and becoming. And I'm going to give you some information on that. Focus on becoming the right person instead of trying to find the right person. Number two, assume that you will need to mature before and during marriage. You are dysfunctional. Every one of you. Me too. You're dysfunctional. Some of us are just more so than others. You know, it's just the way it is, okay? But you know this. The more baggage you bring into that marriage, the heavier the lifting, the more challenging the journey, the more you bring in there. And so you know what? I want to challenge you, before you get married, before you get remarried, whatever state of life that you're in, make sure God, you give God full access to heal your heart. Assume that you need healing. Don't assume that you don't. Assume that you do. And so that, you know what? I mean, if you've never been married, you've, you know, formally married, whatever it is. Especially if you've if you grew up in a highly dysfunctional home, you've got to realize, man, there's probably some stuff out of whack in my life. If you have been married before and it was not healthy, you're probably carrying some scars and some wounds that you're don't even know about yet. It's possible. Assume that and I say, allow God to bring some healing to you. Listen to this, what it says here. Let's go to Ephesians 4. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off the old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. The deceived person says, I'm good, I'm fine, I don't need anything. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Amen? If you really want some more counsel on this, about the stuff to deal with before you ever bring it into a marriage, go back and start at verse 17 of chapter 4 and just read it through. Read right through chapter 5 and into chapter 6. There's a lot of bullet points in there that will help you. Number three, create boundaries. Create some boundaries. I wanted to name this point something else like cut them off, but I didn't. Create boundaries. What does this mean? Cut off the old flames. I was dating Debbie, and we were pretty serious, and suddenly I get a package in the mail from an old flame. It was a book of romantic poetry. I showed it to her. She was like, oh, no. It went back in the package and back in the mail. Okay? You've got to cut that off. Those old flames have got to be cut off. Amen? You've got to create those boundaries. You've got to cut them off. Number two, hang on. Please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. You've got to cut off, you know, potentially, or create strong boundaries. If you have parents or family friends who think that they need to weigh in on everything about your marriage, you need, remember something. You stood before God and you made a commitment. I'm going to trust that you did this. You stood before God and you made a commitment and to honor the scriptural principle that you would leave your parents and cleave to one another. And your first allegiance is to each other, not to your family. Not to your family. Okay, it is true that if you marry somebody, you marry their family. That is true. But that doesn't mean that you don't create a big boundary there and say, okay, this is the limits. It's the limits. I mean, please make sure that you don't have an easy escape hatch. You already heard about not using the D word, but you know, make sure that every time there's some kind of little disruption in your marriage, that you don't, that there isn't somebody you can quickly run off to, that you don't get mama on the phone and start whining. It'll unravel your marriage. And you know what? You may have to create a boundary. If you have adult children that are train wrecks, you may have to create a boundary there too, because you put so much time and effort into trying to help that child that you will jeopardize your marriage. Again, allegiance. If you have children from former marriages, you're going to have to figure out where the boundaries are on that, because that will impact your marriage. I don't have the time to get into all that. You want to see me about some of this stuff, I can help you with it. Number four, be intimate. Here's the plan. Let me lay out God's plan for you. I'm going to lay it out for you. This is God's plan. God created sexual intimacy. He created it, okay? He created it to be the expression of one man and one woman, one man, one woman, one man, one woman. Amen. Together for how long? Till death do them part. There are no other variables there. And every time somebody gets smart and comes up with a new variable, there's immense pain that goes into it. Huge pain. I don't care what other variation you get out, and you outside that boundary, you're going to create pain, shame, hurt, all kinds of stuff in your heart and in your life. Loss of respect, all kinds of things. Because you have to realize sex outside of marriage exists for self-gratification, not something that builds a healthy relationship. Let me say this to you. Please, by all means, live together before you get married. Please do that. If you want to wreck your life. If you want to increase the probability of divorce to 80%, by all means, live together. If you want to introduce shame and insecurity and heartache into your life, live together before you're married. And if you say, I'm just some old guy that doesn't know what he's talking about, 50 years of walking with people might say something to you. You know what? Sex, you know, this country has an interesting phenomenon going on. It's called sexless marriages. And you realize something. You know what? If you want to understand what the Bible, I don't have the time to get into it, but the Bible speaks a great deal about sex, the proper and the improper expression of it. And I mean, you can go. I mean, here's some verses of scripture that you can look up. You can look at 2 Samuel 11, David and what happened with him. You can look at Proverbs 5. You can actually start with 2, 5, 6, and 7 if you want to do that. You can go to the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is so hot that there were people that did not want to include it in the Bible. They were like, you can't put that in there. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 Thessalonians 4, and there are other places. Those are all places in Scripture that talk about sex and God's design for it in a healthy and improper way. Number five, be realistic. Marriage is not going to be bliss all the time. There are going to be seasons where you're clicking together and you're not clicking at all. But be like Patty and Rich said, you stay with it and you walk through it. And realize something, friends. If you get married because you think that you found the right person that's going to make you happy all the time, that's going to complete you, you're mistaken. There's only one person that can satisfy your soul, and his name is what?
Jesus.
He's the only one. Fully satisfy your soul. Don't put that on your spouse. Don't put that on them. Seeking first the kingdom of God and the right relationship with him, and then the things that you have needed. Only Jesus can really change and fulfill and satisfy your heart. Number six, see each other as gifts from God. See each other as gifts from God. Now, what do I mean by that? A man who finds a wife finds a treasure, and he receives what? Favor from what? The Lord. Yeah, there you go. In the garden, God creates Adam. Okay? And says, Adam, you're going to care for this garden. And you're going to name all the animals. And it's interesting that God brings the animals to Adam to see, it says, to see what he would name them. I don't think he gave them Latin names, but, you know, he gave them some kind of name, you know? I don't know what it was, though. I've always wondered what it was. What caused God to go look at Adam and go, huh, this guy needs somebody to help him. What was he doing? What was he not doing? Was he, like, leaving clothes on the floor? I don't know. Is he not putting the dish in the right rack in the dishwasher? Was he not paying his bills on time? Maybe he was, like, giving the animals, like, really weird names that he needed somebody to consult with on that, you know? It's so funny. You know, my grandson, it's just so funny, Felix. He gets all these toys, like probably like your kids or grandkids. He gets these toys, these animal toys, and he wants to give them all a name. And so he comes, what are you going to name them? The names that this kid comes up with for these toys. And his mama's going, how about this? How about this? I don't know what was going on with Adam when finally God said, I'm going to make a helpmeet for this dude. Not good for this guy to be alone. You know? When you look, guys, when you look at her, and when gals, you look at him, realize that is the gift of God to you. And if you realize that, you will treat them with incredible respect because they're a gift of God to you, right? Right? As a matter of fact, please understand something, and I'm moving through this very quickly, but please understand something here. When you and I do not respect, submit, love, care for one another deeply, this is how God thinks about it. Are you ready for this? God goes, I gave them this amazing gift, a person that's committed to them, and they don't treat that gift very well, Certainly not teaching me that I can give them something else. If they can't treat that amazing gift properly, why would I give them anything else? You say, well, where'd you get that, Pastor? Brad, I got it from 1 Peter chapter 3. When Peter says to the man, he says, look, you know what? If you're not treating your wife properly, you're going to hinder your prayers. I'll never forget the morning. I had not treated my wife very well, and I just kind of left it like that and just went off and I went to pray and get all holy. And the Lord spoke to me. You know what he said to me? He said, what makes you think I want to listen to you? Crud. Look at that, 1 Peter 3. Okay? I mean, come on. You know what? Read that for yourself, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Let's go to number 7. It's not about never fighting, but how to fight. You know, in premarital counseling, I usually like to ask this question. Tell me about your disagreements, the recent fight that you have. Tell me about, you know, what that was about, and tell me how that worked out. I love this. We don't fight. Do we fight? I don't think we might discuss something, but we don't fight. Well, we have. I want to go. There's a lot of things I want to say right there, but one of those is like, either somebody's not telling me the truth, B, somebody's stuffing it down and not really speaking what they really think and hiding it, or something's going on here. Because that's part of the process, is it not? Right? It's conflict. You know, it's not about fighting all the time. That's ridiculous. But you know what? But fighting requires learning how to do so. So let me just quickly, it's 11 o'clock, and I got to wrap up in just a couple of minutes. I'll give you these fairly quickly, and we'll go on. If I could just give you one thought, it would be this. Practice James 1:19. James 1:19 says, you must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. If you could just practice that one thing, just that one thing, it'd be amazing. Be amazing. Deal with anger. Ephesians 4. Let's go back to that. Ephesians 4. You know, about dealing with anger quickly and resolving it and not bringing it back up again and pounding each other with it. You know, forgive, you know, from the heart and choose to let it go. Ephesians 4. Go back and read it. You got a homework assignment. Read Ephesians 4. Then the second part is live it. You know, conflict is like a thunderstorm, right? Kind of scary, a lot of loud noise, banging and slamming, wind, you know, rain, all kind of crazy stuff. But what happens when it's over? Well, there's probably been some damage, probably. But hopefully it's not irreversible. But often the air is clear, right? The sky is incredibly blue. Nitrogen has been released. The plants love it. They're green and they're fresh. Thunderstorms are okay as long as they're totally resolved. Let me just go on here. Here's number 8. I've got 3 left. I'll give these to you quickly. Similarity is helpful. You heard a little bit about this from Patty and Rich. The more, the greater the difference in the how you grew up, the greater the challenge is going to be in your marriage. I didn't say you shouldn't get married. I just simply said you've got a greater challenge there. If your cultures are radically different, if you grew up in one home that's extremely, one of you grew up in a very well-adjusted home, and one of you grew up in a highly dysfunctional home, it's going to be a challenge for you. You know, it's going to be a challenge. And just if one of you grew up in a deeply committed, real deal kind of relationship with Jesus family, and one of you grew up in a family that's got like no knowledge or understanding about how any of that works, it's going to be a different deal. You just kind of have to settle into your heart that if this is truly what God wants, it's going to take us some extra work to deal with all these different things. Amen? It's just the way it is. And please make sure that you have conversations about your future. If one of you has a call into ministry, you better disclose that. If one of you has a passion to go in the military, you better tell the other one that. You better lay out your future plans and dreams. Although it may or may not materialize, it's better to sit down and talk about those kinds of things ahead of time. Amen? Lay that all out. Lay it all out ahead of time. That all possible. Number 9, be smart. Let me ask you a series of quick questions. If they never change, are you okay with how they are? They have this weird thing that they do. It's kind of immature and a little quirky. Are you okay with that if it never changes? Are you 100% confident that you're going to change them into your likeness? Ask yourself this question. Can I see all of their relatives in my house at Thanksgiving? Some of you, just your whole life just flashed before you. I thought. If they don't treat you all that well now, are you okay with them treating you even worse after you get married? Because that's the trend line, generally. Number 10, get wise counsel. I see couples who say, oh, we don't have time, and we don't have money for premarital counsel. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm charging money. What are you talking about? You know? Well, we can't afford to do that. Yeah, those flowers, they're about $5,000. Yeah, we can afford that. Yeah, we can do that. better to get wisdom, Proverbs says. You know? Better to get wisdom. Boy, I see it all the time. I don't care if you've been married twice, three times, you know. I'd be very careful about making it three and four and five times because the probability of success goes way down. I'm not kidding you. The probability of success, you know, goes way down. The more frequently you get married, for obvious reasons, I think. But the bottom line is, I don't care if it's your first marriage or second or whatever it might be. You know, make sure you get wise counsel before you get married. Amen? Make sure, I don't care how old you are, what the deal is. I've done premarital counseling with people in their 60s. Okay? And they may say, well, you know, we're well into our adult years. I say, well, that don't mean you ain't stupid somewhere. Come on, I'm 65. I can be stupid too, so come on. You know? Get wise counsel. Listen. Please listen. If there are spiritually mature, emotionally mature people in your life that are going, whoa, 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 don't do that. Do not marry that person. Think about this. Slow down. Stop. If there are those people in your life, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. I'm not just talking about one person. I'm talking about if there are two or three spiritually mature people that are in your life going, wait, think about this. Slow down. You need to slow down and say, wait a minute, maybe I need to rethink this. And lastly, invest, read a book, attend a conference. Try to do that once a year. Your car needs servicing more often than once a year. Your marriage is certainly worth more than that. So, let me wrap this up. Band, why don't you come? Marriage is two deaths, two funerals, and a resurrection. Two people saying, you know what? I got to die to myself. Because if I die to myself, the two of us will become much stronger. Patty and Rich already said this, we'll become much stronger together. Can we do this? Two people gave me a vote of confidence. Thank you. Appreciate that. Can we do this? Yeah, it's not easy. That's why you always hear me say, stand with me. That's why you always hear me say, marriage is spelled W-O-R-K. Always hear me say that, friends. Let's take a moment. Again, you know, Rich has already prayed for us. Thank you, Rich. God, just give us the grace and the strength even right now. Right now, Lord, right now. Take some of the things that we've heard, Lord. You probably, you know, probably shot one of them right into our hearts like an arrow. And help us not to blow it off, but just to respond to it. Let me just say this as we close. Again, it's good for me to remind you, like Peter said, the greatest gift you will ever give to your kids will be a healthy marriage to your mom and dad. That is the single greatest gift you will ever give them. Besides, obviously, helping them know Jesus. Give us strength, Lord, to build, God, not just to be together, but to love each other passionately and to serve you with all of our hearts. God, I know that there are people in this body this morning, just because I know some stories and I know the statistics. God, I just ask you. Lord, there's a lot of hurt, and there's been a lot of wounds, there's been a lot of tough stories here. There's a lot of pain, but none of it's too great that you cannot heal. And I pray for the healing grace of Jesus to flow into every heart. God, whatever the need is, thanks, Father. I'm going to close. We're going to sing this song. The ministry team will come and stand across the front. If you need prayer for any reason, they will pray with you. If you need to meet Jesus, then come and talk with one of them, and they'll help you know what that means to meet Jesus. And then we're going to take this for just a couple of minutes, and I'm going to come and wrap us up. And we've got to move quickly and transition to the blessing of the bikes. I'll tell you about that. So let's sing this song one time through. Ministry team, come and pray with anybody that wants prayer, and then I'll close this out.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need.
Right in the middle of everything. So don't do that, please. So move that out of the parking lot for us. I appreciate that. Those of you that are on the team, you're going to go right to lunch and the fellowship hall and then for orientation and last minute details. Okay? So just be aware of all those things. Let's, as we close today, okay, so if you're not staying, you're getting your kids and you're leaving promptly, I hate to throw you out of church, but today I have to, you know, sorry. I don't get to throw people out of church very often, so it's kind of fun for me one day. Okay, so, but if you're on the team, you make sure your car's in the back, okay, and then you're going to go to lunch here. Let's one last prayer. Lord, thank you for everybody. Strengthen our marriage and help us, God, to reach bikers for you. Dismiss us in your great grace, we pray. Thanks, Lord. Amen, friends. All right, get out of here. See ya. Should I be